Money FM 89.3. Best of breakfast. Morning Shot.
Good morning. Here is the Morning Shot this morning. Even as the world goes full speed at finding ways to tackle climate change, energy experts warn that global energy-related emissions are still growing at an unsustainable rate. A recent analysis by the International Energy Agency found that the growth of CO2 emissions from energy and industrial processes grew by 0.9% to 36.8 gigatons last year, a smaller increase than originally feared, but still hitting an all-time high. The growth in renewables and energy alternatives helped to offset some of the emissions from coal and oil. The deployment of wind and solar and other clean technologies, such as heat pumps and electric vehicles, prevented about 550 million tons of carbon dioxide entering the atmosphere, without which the rise in CO2 emissions would have been about 2.3%. And for a deeper analysis, we're joined by Rob Jackson, Professor of Earth System Science at Stanford University and Chairman of the Global Carbon Project. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. First off, should we be heartened by this development that there are some positive effects from the tech efforts that have been put in, given that we live in a time when bad news on climate comes thick and fast?
It does come thick and fast, but I don't think we can take much joy in the recent results. Any emissions growth at this point, even just 1%, is a failure. I mean, we can't afford additional growth. And the reason for that is, like a bathtub that's overflowing in your bathroom, it doesn't help to say, well, the flow of water into the bathtub didn't rise. We need to cut it to zero, or else the flooding will continue.
Can you elaborate on why that's so? Why you're saying that any emissions growth, even 1%, is a failure?
It's 1% growth, so the flood of greenhouse gases to the atmosphere continues at record rates, and that's bad because carbon dioxide stays in the atmosphere for many centuries. So we have to get to zero emissions, or at least net zero emissions, to make real progress on climate, and we aren't approaching zero emissions. We're just trying to stabilize emissions at a record rate.
Okay, the IEA says the 0.9% CO2 emissions growth rate was below that of economic growth. Do you think this suggests countries have successfully decoupled economic growth from emissions?
I do, to some extent. We've seen a many-decade trend where companies and countries are being more energy efficient. We're making more goods with less energy and with less carbon intensity. That's good news. Mm-hmm. We're also seeing a rise in renewable energy and replacement of fossil fuels with renewables. That's good news, too. It just isn't fast enough to make the progress that we need.
Talking about fossil fuels, can you enlighten us on why we're still seeing emissions growing from fossil fuels?
They're convenient. They're abundant. There are entrenched interests for their use to continue. So all of these factors are contributing to continued fossil fuel use.
A lot of talk has gone on about how to phase out coal in favor of cleaner energy alternatives without endangering energy security. What factors do you think must be considered in order to successfully balance the two?
I think there are many factors. Energy security is one. Energy reliability is certainly one. The fact that electricity needs to arrive to homes and buildings in a consistent and reliable way. Energy poverty is another. The whole world is not like the United States or Singapore. There are hundreds of millions of people without access to reliable electricity around the world, many in India and other countries. We need to take into account their needs as well, and their needs are different than my needs.
Okay, coal emissions are understandably highly concentrated in emerging economies. How challenging is it to scale up clean electricity generation and infrastructure in these sort of nations? Are we looking at roadblocks more on the political or economic front?
There are certainly roadblocks. I think one roadblock is when a country has abundant fossil resources such as coal and doesn't have access to other energy resources. It's very convenient and, from the standpoint of energy security, valuable to have a local energy source. I'm optimistic that we can make the transition, though, in developing countries as well. Renewables are now as cheap or cheaper than fossils around the world, so new renewable projects are less expensive than new fossil projects, and we need to take advantage of those opportunities.
And thanks to increased deployment of renewable energy, electric vehicles and heat pumps, we also saw an additional 550 megatons of carbon dioxide emissions prevented. How significant is this?
Extremely significant. Almost all of the new electricity generating capacity built in the last couple of years has been renewables. That's worldwide. That's probably the best climate news out there. The rise of renewables, the continuing decline of coal power in particular, won't just help us with the climate. It will save millions of lives from particulate and other pollution. So when we do the right thing for the climate and cut fossil fuel use, we also make ourselves healthier and save lives.
In terms of clean energy, many sources of clean energy are produced with electric plants, burning fuels. So how much progress are we doing on this front to make a truly clean transition?
A great deal of progress in solar and wind power, clearly. They're becoming more efficient, cheaper to build. But we have to look beyond solar and wind to other reliable renewable sources. There's a lot of good things happening in geothermal energy, too. Geothermal is advantageous because it doesn't rely on the wind blowing or the sun shining. It's present 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. There are other forms of renewable power that are being built, and so we need a diverse portfolio in energy in the same way that diversity helps us in the classroom and in the boardroom.
Okay, we understand that the rise in emissions last year was driven largely by the post-COVID-19 rebound in air traffic. Given that most economies, including China, have reopened this year, should we then expect the situation to be much worse this year?
I wouldn't be surprised to see fossil emissions increase modestly in this year, 2023, as well. Countries are still trying to spur their economies to growth. China just announced yesterday or today its growth target for the year of 5%, and a growth of 5% or anything close to that will inevitably increase China's fossil emissions.
Okay, thank you very much, Rob. We've been speaking with Rob Jackson, Professor of Earth System Science at Stanford University and Chairman of the Global Carbon Project.
Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.